amen, Lord, we serve a risen King. Amen. I said, amen, Lord, we serve a risen King. The same God. We thank God that death could not hold him down. Amen, Lord, the Lord made a way. Amen. So we do bless the Lord today. We thank God for my wife being here. We thank God for all of you being here. Why don't you give yourself a hand praise for being in the house of the Lord. Amen. For it's our mockery to be in the house of the Lord. The psalmist said, it was until I went into the sanctuary, then understood I therein. Amen. So there's a revealing. There's an unknown thing that's revealed when we come into the house of God. So we just bless the Lord for being here, and we thank God during this Thanksgiving season. How many are thankful?
Everything in his path within a matter of moments. That's
That's a sign from God. And when the scripture talks about when Jesus said signs of his coming and the end of the age or the church age, sign means there are going to be miraculous events that are taking place supernaturally to let us know that something, God is doing something. Right? Miraculous events that are taking place supernaturally to give us, let us know that God is doing something. And it's a sign for what? For us, the Bible said, look up for your what? Redemption is drawing nigh. So we just want to be prepared this morning. Amen. We don't want to just make church a routine or a habit. But that should be a hunger. Is anybody just hungry this morning? That should be a hunger and thirst after righteousness. The Bible says if we hunger and thirst after righteousness, we shall be filled. Well, what we're going to go over today is the inadvertent, subtle way that the devil blinds us. And we think we're on the Lord's side, but we're going against the Lord. So let us stand. We think we're doing what God says, but we're not. The scripture says in 1 Corinthians, I think 8, verse 2 says, when a man thinketh a thing, he knoweth it not yet as he ought to know. And there's a way that seemeth right. Anybody just feel like, I know we're not super pious. We're not so proud. Anybody ever feel like, if I'm doing this, it's got to be all right? Right? Y'all don't have to say amen, but all right. I know. Sometimes, if I'm doing this, it's got to be all right. But there's a way that seemeth right. Right? So what's the difference between what is right and what seemeth right? What is right is what God said. Amen. What seemeth right is what you think. So the only way we can be in God's will, we can't go by what seems right, but we got to walk in God's will according to his instructions. Can we say hallelujah? Amen. So we're going to go to Luke, the 6th chapter. I did have a lot more verses, but I cut it down. We're going to read verses 12 through 16 of Luke, the 6th chapter, verses 12 through 16. Now, once again, we're dealing with the inadvertent spirit. An inadvertent spirit means something that happened that you're not aware of. The inadvertent spirit is making us disobey God's will. Did y'all hear me? The inadvertent spirit is making us disobey God's will. All right, that's hard. All right, I understand. But hopefully before we get through, you'll get it. Amen. Verse 12 reads, and it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued. This is the Lord himself. Went out to a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer. Now the Lord is longing for us because the Lord is getting ready to make a crucial decision. He's getting ready to make some critical choices. So before the Lord makes these choices, he does what? Anybody got some critical choices? Amen. Anybody got some decisions to make? Yes. Amen. You just can't do it because it seemeth right. Because it seemed right, it'll mess you up. But if the Lord had to pray all night,
yes.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
We ought to pray too. He said, when it was day, he called unto him his disciples. And on them he chose 12, and he named apostles. Simon, who he also named Peter, and Andrew his brother, James and John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James the son of Alphaeus, and Simon called Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James, and Judas Iscariot, which also was the traitor. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for being in the house of prayer one more time. Lord, our hearts desire this afternoon is that you may search every heart. Lord, search every mind. Lord, search and walk through every family. Lord, walk through every eyes of the pew. Lord, if we came in church today not sure, needing direction, Lord, we ask you to send the word to direct our steps. For the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Lord, today if we came in troubled in spirit, Lord, send the word to heal the troubled spirit. Lord, if we came in today, make what a decision, or we have a crossroad as to what we ought to do. Lord, send the word. Now he had lots of disciples, but he only had 12 apostles. But before he made a critical decision, he did what? How long did he pray? A few minutes? The Lord prayed all night long about who he was going to choose as his apostles. Amen. Prior to this, I did have, but I'm just going to highlight someone. Prior to this, he's dealing with those religious people that knew about God but didn't know God. And those religious people, when you're dealing with religious people, they're so set in their ways. It's hard to change someone that's set in their ways. Y'all know anybody that's stubborn? Come on, I ain't talking about you. I'm saying y'all know it. A lot of us know we stubborn. My wife always tell me I'm stubborn. That's all right. So, ouch. My wife tell me, I know I'm stubborn, right? But do you know somebody that's stubborn? A stubborn person know what they're doing is wrong. They hear the correct way to go, but they're so set in their ways. They just do what they want to do. And if I borrow the nomenclature of today's society, the young people, today everybody's just doing them. Do y'all understand that one better? None of y'all. Y'all don't understand old stuff. Y'all understand new stuff, right? A lot of people just doing them. Well, my caution is don't do you, or not do you, is that right? All right. Okay, all right. I ain't into all the jargon. don't do you. It's time for us to do God. Can we say hallelujah? Because doing you will seem right, but it can be wrong. So the Lord is dealing with these religious leaders that were doing you. And in doing you, it came into an assembly of men that had the withered up arm, but it was the Sabbath day. Now, when you do you, you just go according to religious traditions and ceremonies. But you fail to realize the needs when you do you. All right, can y'all say do you?
Do you.
Do me, do whatever. In other words, your world is around you. Everything revolves in your world is revolved around you. Amen? Well, everything in their world revolved around them. So there came into the assembly a man with a withered arm, and he needed to be healed. And he came to Jesus, and all those do you people, do me, or do whatever, watched him to see if he would heal, because ceremonially, he was supposed to heal on the Sabbath day. So Jesus asked him, he said, is it lawful to do good or to do evil on the Sabbath day? Now, how many of us in any reasonable mind and not doing us realize it's important that you do good?
Amen.
Right. So he asked the do yous. I should change this message to do you. Right. He asked all those do yous that knew what to do. He said, should I do good or should I do evil on the Sabbath day? They didn't answer a word because they wanted to do you. Do you will conflict with God's will. Do you will conflict with people being delivered. Do you will conflict with God having a mighty move of God. So the Lord said, I don't have time to mess with all of you youths. I have a man that's standing before me that needs to be healed. So the Lord forgot about everybody else. Sometimes in your situations, you need to black everybody else out. You need to forget about them. I need something from God. I got to get to God, and I got to get to him for myself. I can't let you talk me out of my blessing. I can't let you talk me out of my healing. I can't let you talk me out of my deliverance. I don't care if you are in the majority. I need something from God. So Jesus said, I can't focus on all of you people that's caught up in your own religiosity and in your own way of doing things your way. So he spoke to the man with the withered up arm. He said, stretch forth your arm. And when he stretched forth the arm, the arm was healed and became whole like the other one. Now, all the do you people, can we say do you again? I don't want y'all to be quiet. Say do you. Or do me. Or do something. Do something. All the do you people got angry because he did good. Well, that's when you know you're messed up. Because God is blessed Father before us the Father. What do you think? In the midst of your situation, don't argue with all those people that know better than you know anyway. If I'm going to need help, I'm going to go to someone that knows everything. I go to the Lord my Savior. Why? Because he knows the end from the beginning. He knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. So if I talk to you with your finite mind, you can't help me. But when I talk to God with his infinite mind, his mind goes beyond all understanding. When I talk to him, he can help me. So the Lord has to make a decision. So he chooses 12 out of the disciples. And at the end, it said that he chose Judas Iscariot, which was the traitor. So our message that we want to deal with this morning, amen, now stay with me, is the trace of a spiritual traitor. The traits, the characteristics of a, we're not just talking about a traitor, because you know people always betray one another. We're talking about when you betray the God of your salvation. We talk about God that created us. When you betray the Lord, and if we were to have a subtopic today, it would be have you betrayed the Lord. So today, I'm not gonna make y'all talk to me. Every once in a while, I may, because I don't want you to fall asleep on me. But the question is, have you betrayed the Lord? Amen. Now, when we talk about being a traitor, a spiritual traitor in particular, can we just, let me give you the definition for a traitor. Amen. I know we know what a traitor is. A traitor is a betrayer of God and also brethren. Traitor betrays God and also the brethren in church. That is a traitor. Anyone who betrays, whether it be God, his family, friend, church, our country, is a traitor. Anyone that betrays is, can we say traitor? Amen. I said, I'm not going to make y'all say amen. I'm going to make you at least talk to me. Because we're not in a dead church. How many know God's not dead? He's what? Yeah. They sing this song, he has risen. Yeah. Now, a traitor is also one that is that's full of treason. A treason betrays for whatever reason. Amen. Traitor is one who violates his allegiance and betrays his God and his country and his church. A traitor. They don't have allegiance. They don't have loyalty to anything. So they will betray. Amen. In simplicity, a traitor is one who acts on the behalf of the enemy. Can y'all say ouch or something? A traitor acts on the behalf of the enemy. Now, how many know we live in a two-world system? Our system, there are two different systems in this world that we live in. One system is God's system, and the other system is the world system. God's system, who's in charge of God's system? Who's in charge of the world system? The devil. Because the Bible says, you have he quickened who are dead in trespasses and sins. So God has made us alive. So we're living in a situation, we have to make a choice. Which one will we follow? There's no in between with God. The Bible calls those that like to walk. You ever make some people say, well, I'm not too bad, but I'm not too good. I'm in the middle. The Bible classifies those that are in the middle as what? Lukewarm. He calls that the Laodicean church. The Laodicean church age is the age that we're living in. And God said, I would that you were either cold or hot. He said, because you're lukewarm, I'm going to what? Spew you out of my mouth. So the traitor likes to go in between. The traitor said, I don't want to look too churchy, and I don't want to look too worldly. Amen? The traitor. Because when a traitor goes out in the world, he wants to fit in the world. When a traitor comes to church, he wants to fit in church. Amen. So the traitor wants to both worlds. How many know Jesus said, you cannot serve two masters? Either you will hold to one and despise the other, or you will choose one and you will two. Y'all with me? You cannot serve God and the devil. You're going to choose one or the other, and in the end, most of the time, we're going to choose the devil. So today, we're dealing with the traits of a spiritual traitor. Amen. How many know about Billy the Gardener? Y'all heard about Billy the Gardener. What is Benedict Arnold known for being a what? Traitor. Right? Now, Benedict Arnold, this is a little history. Benedict Arnold was a general in the Revolutionary War under President Washington. He did great military exploits. But all of the great military exploits he did took a back seat to one thing. He was a traitor. Well, he conquered, actually everybody in New York should know Benedict Arnold because he's the one that captured Saratoga. He captured Ticonderoga. He also, at one point, was made the head of West Point, the United States Military Academy. He was a general. Well, when he became head of the United States Military Academy at West Point, that's when we were fighting the British. I was at West Point, so I know a lot of that history, but we're not gonna get into all that. But they were fighting the history. But the route that the British had to take in order to come, as they were pursuing and coming in, is they had to come up to the Hudson River, and they had to go past West Point. Well, what Benedict Arnold did, he made a treaty with one of the British officers that I want to weaken the army, and then when you come, you'll be able to easily overtake West Point. Amen? Well, what happened was they arrested this guy that he was in cahoots with, this conspirator, and when they arrested him, they found all these paperwork showing that Benedict Arnold was a traitor. So before they could capture Benedict Arnold, what he did was he went to England. He betrayed his country. You know why he did all that? For money and wealth. So all of his great military exploits were lost in the fact that he was a traitor. Well, how was he a traitor? He betrayed his loyalty to his country. He betrayed his loyalty to his family. He betrayed his loyalty to his friend. So Benedict Arnold became known as the traitor. So when someone is acting up, you say, don't be another Benedict Arnold. Listen, he was such a powerful leader, they called him the Black Eagle. Right? This is what they called him. His fame was so much, when they heard the Black Eagle was coming, most people would throw down their weapons in fear of him. That's how ferocious he was as a leader. But through all that, he had never been known for his great military exploits. He's been known as a traitor. Well, why was he a traitor? He betrayed his country. He betrayed his family. And he betrayed his God. So, are y'all still with me?
Yeah.
Now, one of the ways that the devil gets the church to compromise or to go against God is through sin. That's how he gets us to compromise. We'll say, well, it can't be that bad. It got to be all right. Amen. But the way he gets us to compromise is through sin. Because when we sin, we tell God, you are my enemy. When we sin, we tell the devil, you are my God. So we exchange our young loyalty and sinning from God to the devil. Y'all with me? In a few minutes, we're going to go over some more characteristics of those that are traitors. Amen. Hopefully, before we leave, somebody said, when I leave, I'll be walking right. How many want to just leave and be right? Not right in my sight, because I don't have a heaven or hell to put you in. But I want to be right in the eyes of the Lord. Amen. Now, one of the biggest things about being a traitor to Jesus is this. Who died for us? The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever shall believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So God gave his best for us. Now the traitors don't want to give up nothing for God. Y'all with me? God gave us his best. What was his best? My wife was talking about it the other day. Y'all know the story. I'm going to just entertain you for a minute so you stay with me. You know the story of the farmer that had a chicken and a pig? Y'all know that story, huh? How many know that story? All right, I'm gonna help y'all. So the farmer had a chicken and a pig, and the chicken says to the pig, you know, the farmer has been so good to us. He's provided so many ways for us. We need to make the farmer a breakfast. The pig said, yes, sounds good. He said, we ought to have eggs and ham. So the pig said, wait a minute. Eggs, you can have an egg and still live. But if we get a ham, that means I have to, you have to kill me to get the ham. So the pig looked at the chicken and said, you want to make token commitment, but you want me to make total commitment. The trainer just want to get the egg. You know what? But those that are fully committed, if I have to give a ham, I give a ham. I heard us say, if I perish, let me perish, because I'm going to see the King. So the question today, how many of us have total commitment, or how many of us have token commitment? The total commitment, I just give the egg because it don't hurt. After you take this egg, I'll lay another. But when you lay down your life, when I beseech you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your body a living, sacrifice. I'm not in token commitment, I'm totally committed.
Oh!
comes to God, our problem is a lot of us are procrastinators. A lot of us are very hesitant. So when we're in trouble, we take our time to get to God. Is it a righteous to what? Rise. Are you all with me? So the prophet said, well, I've been coming to church. Eventually, I'm going to do it. You got to stop walking. It's time to. Because when you run to God, then the name of the Lord is a. In other words, he's a wall of protection all about you. When you run to God. Can we go to James, the fourth chapter? And we're dealing with the traits. And I'm almost finished. We're dealing with the traits of a traitor. The traits of a traitor. Well, how can you tell a traitor? Because a traitor patronizes with the enemy. Traitor. A traitor would be, he'd be with God on Sunday and be in the bar on Monday. A traitor put on his suit on Sunday. On Tuesday, you don't know what he got on. I mess with Lee, I'm talking about the traitor. You with me? A traitor. On Sunday, we sing an Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I'm found. On Wednesday, I don't know them songs, but when I be riding down the street, I have to turn up my radio and close my window. That stuff we have more profanity coming out. We talk about the traitor. So the traitor is trying to get the most of, best of. A traitor then on Sunday was saying, praise God, he's been so good. I just thank God for all the saints. I'm going through the whole week. On Thursday, the traitor. I can't stand them folks in church. I just gotta be. Keep me around church people. Yeah. We're talking about who? Traitor. Right? Why don't you have a call some people to church? Oh, I can't be around the church people all the time. Yeah. The traitor. Right. The traitor on Friday. Right? Well, let me go back to the traitor on Sunday first so we get to Friday. Right? So the traitor on Sunday would just be smiling. And telling everybody, God bless you, God bless you, God's good, God bless you. On Friday, you can't even give them a smile. What are we talking about? Faith. On Friday, you don't know what I've been going through, and I don't think, and if I don't want to smile, I don't have to smile. Because it's me and I can do what I want to do. True. Can we say true? Man's a traitor. Put some bass in your voice. Traitor. Amen. The traitor on Saturday watch everything they ain't supposed to be watching, whether it's on the computer, the phone. They got so many mass media, social media now that can corrupt you. On Saturday, they watching everything they ain't supposed to be watching. On Saturday. Then on Sunday, come up, my eyes are pure before God. Don't you know the Lord was watching what you were watching last night? The Lord saw you when the woman was admiring a man that she should be admiring because she shouldn't be admiring her husband. The Lord was the answer's watching you. He's watching you. The Lord was watching the man when you were watching a woman shake everything she has to shake. You're talking about the traits of the traitor. Wait, how you gonna know the traits of the traitor if I don't tell you what they are? The traitor, traits of the traitor on Saturday, he's committing adultery by looking on a woman and lusting after her in his heart. Because the Bible says if a man looks on a woman and lusts after his heart, he does get what? Committing adultery where? In his heart. Well, that goes both ways. So the traitor on Saturday has indulged in all these ungodly. Can we say Sunday to Sunday? We know who he is. Verse 1 of James 4, I'm going to finish here. It says, from whence come wars and fightings? Now my question is, who's he right to? What in the world is the church doing having fighting among you?
Come on.
Not only are fighting, but you've got wars.
Yes.
You know what? A war is something that just don't end. You keep it going. So from which coming wars and fighting among you? Coming down even of your what? The traitor has not brought his body under subjection. So the body is still dictating instead of the traitor allowing God to have his way. So verse 2 says, ye lust and ye lust. All that fantasizing you are doing, whether the magazine, the TV, the phone, the computer, the iPad, the this pad, the that pad, the other pad, all that fantasizing, you lust and you still don't have it. We talk about who? I wish I was married to that one. You married to who you married to. How many of you in your marriage? Just raise your hand for a minute. Everybody married. God bless you all for 2 years. Keep going strong. And my wife been married 2 years times 20. 40, yes. So y'all coming up, you have a little way to go. You're doing good. You keep loving each other, right? Statement. But when we took the marriage vow, how many know your marriage vow wasn't to man, but your marriage vow was to who? In the marriage vow you said for? Better or worse? You can't decide now. I didn't know it was going to be that worse. I'm just telling the truth. You said for better or for? Maybe we need to go back to that day we stood at the altar. For better or for worse? For richer or for? Don't be trying to leave your spouse to get you some more money. Your pastor said it didn't make a difference on that day. For richer or for?
Poor.
In sickness and in? Well, you know I'm going to have to take care of the rest of my life. That's not what you said on that day. You said for? Ouch. The traitor likes to try to find ways out of it. I didn't think it was going to be this way, and I didn't think it was going to be that way. Otherwise, I wouldn't have said it. Then you should have considered your vow, because Ecclesiastes 5 says, it's better for you not to vow than to vow and not keep it. But you took a vow. All right, I went off a minute. Let's go back to James. But I'm leading up to something. Right? Because the traitor has wandering eyes. The traitor has wandering mind. Listen, how many believe God is omnipotent?
Amen.
Alright, don't raise your hand because I don't want to put you on the spot. Wave your heart so we can see your heart. Alright, so answer me. How many believe God is omnipotent?
Amen.
How many believe God is omnipresent? In case you know omnipresent, omnipotent means all powerful. Omnipresent means he's everywhere. Everywhere. Can we say everywhere?
Everywhere.
So places you went and they think he saw you?
He saw you.
The traitor said, nobody saw me. God said, I was watching you from the time you walked out of your house. He's omniscient. He said, not only was I watching you, I already knew what you were planning and denying before you left, because my mission means he's all knowing.
Yes.
Right about now, we can just say, ouch. Because the traitor, Lord, help that traitor.
Jesus.
Help the traitor. Because the traitor don't think God can see him. The traitor don't think God knows what they are thinking. Right about now, I'd like to be the Lord to see what y'all are thinking about me. Just be honest. Ooh, what are y'all thinking about me? You talking about Now that we've established that, let's keep going. He says, you kill and desire to have and cannot attain, ye fight and war, yet ye, because ye. You mean all you gotta do is ask God and he'll give it to you? Yes, if you ask God, as long as you don't ask amiss. Say you can consume it upon your own lust. So the problem with the traitors began asking God for everything to fulfill their fleshly desire, and then get mad because God didn't give it to them. But you can't ask for God something that is amiss. Are y'all still with me? I'm almost finished. So we're talking about the traitor. Look at somebody and say, the traitor got some issues. Right. Look at somebody on the other side, the traitor got some serious issues. Some serious issues, the traitor. Because the traitor think they can hide from God and God don't see them. God sees us everywhere at all times. Now, let's get down to the real crux of the matter. Amen? Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is an enmity with God. Now he's not talking about no sexual immorality when he's talking about adulterers and adulteresses. Are you with me? He's talking about spiritual. Well, what was the problem? They were too much under the influence of the world. Because they are traitors. A traitor is not committed to God. A traitor betrays God. So a traitor is not committed to God. He said, ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that friendship with the world is, you become the enemy of God when you are a traitor. When you betray God just to be fitting in the world, you become God's enemy. The friend is the Greek word filial. It means to be in union, it means to be in company with, it means to join forces with. So now Jesus said, you are in the world, but you're not of the world. He said, Father, I pray not that you take them out of the world, but that you what? Keep them from the evil way. So we're in the world. How do you know God can keep you? Say, well, I was all tempted and I just couldn't hear. The reason you didn't resist that sin is because you were a traitor. Because a traitor, no matter what sin it is, said, who's my servant? Who's my savior? Jesus. Who do I serve? Jesus. Well, the moment I don't serve Jesus, I become his enemy because I am an adulterer and an adulteress. Let's go, one more scripture. Go to Romans 6:16. Whoever ye yield yourself service to obey, that is your master. Stand and say hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
So if I yield myself unto unrighteousness, unrighteousness become my master. If I yield myself to alcohol, then alcohol becomes my master. If I yield myself to any unclean addictions, that becomes my master. Well, how can you serve two masters? You can't serve the master of uncleanliness and then think you can serve Jesus, who is our Lord and Master. You cannot serve. So the decision is, come here and let us reason together. It's time to make a choice. But Romans 6:16 says, know ye not to whom ye yield yourselves servants? Right now, I don't know any of your personal life, but who are you obeying? What are you obeying? Who are you following? What are you following? Who are you yield yourself servants to obey? Whether of sin unto what? Well, first of all, we servants to obey his servant, ye all whom ye. So my wife says Sunday syndrome is like this, right? Sunday syndrome, there's a whole lot of Sunday syndrome. I'm giving y'all some traits on the traitor. Y'all want some traits on the traitor? Isn't it amazing how a trait comes out of traitors? It's amazing, right? Well, anyway, something. Man, I'm so wore out this morning. I just can't do anything. And 11 o'clock for church. And 2 o'clock, we're going out to eat. Oh, I can go there. Right. Treat. Because you committed more to your flesh than you were to God. Well, they're going to be doing this at church. I'm tired of being around church people. I want to do something else. If you can't get along from down here, I'm just curious. Anybody curious? We serve a wise God. If you can't get along from down here, what you gonna do? Then the Lord gives us, how many of the Lord gives us a commandment? He says, come out from among and be ye separate. Touch not unclean things that suffer against God. You can try and theorize and popularize, do whatever you want. If it's against God, it's unclean. I don't care what you say. Touch not the unclean things that come off of my mother and be ye separate. He said, what communion has light with the church is what? The light of the world. The world is darkness. So how can you blend light and darkness? It will not work. Whenever the light in the darkness should not be able to comprehend it, says Jesus. So when I come into a world, I'm coming to a place where I'm the light of the world. I don't care what darkness is around me. That light should overshadow the darkness. When a traitor goes in the room, the darkness comprehends it. You all with me? So when a traitor comes in the room, the darkness has a greater influence. Well, greater is he that's in you than he that's in the world. So how can the world be containing you when the greater is in you? Because we're traitors. And we have not yielded unto God. So know ye not whom ye yield yourself, servants who obey his servants ye are, whom ye obey, somebody said, well, that ain't sin. You know who classifies sin? God. The traitor tries to redefine sin and give it a different shape. Like they said, you know, I'm curious. Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden because of what? Well, what was their sin? Ouch. You mean they didn't commit adultery? They didn't murder nobody? They didn't kill nobody? Right? They weren't outspoken and drinking? They weren't hollering? All that? They just said what? The answer is disobey. Well, I don't think God means this. What God means, he says. And what God says, he means. So a lot of us have taken parts of the Bible and said, I'm going to church, I'll do this, I won't do that. Well, Adam and Eve got kicked out of the garden because of disobedience. Well, what was their sin? So the question, as we all stand right about now, the question that we have to address, is am I obeying God or disobeying God? Amen. Am I obeying God or disobeying God? We're going to close. I just want to read 5 things that I jotted down about the traitor. Well, I think most of us got it. If we worship God through devilish and pagan ways, that is a traitor. Because we're supposed to worship the Lord and him only are we to serve. If we speak as we wish, if we say what we want, when we want to say it, without a consideration or thought that God is observing every mannerism that we have, if we just say it because I can say it, those are signs of a trick. Because the Bible says every child of God ought to have their speech what? Seasoned with grace. So the minute you spit out that poison, look at your neighbor and say, that ain't God. That ain't God. God doesn't act ugly. God's fruit of his spirit is not ugly. So the minute you act like you want to, listen, I see your temper. You ain't no good. I'm a traitor. Right? Because I'm not considering that God is in here. Jesus said the greatest commandment is love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, trainer tries to redefine and tries to rewrite what God means. What God says, he means. What he means, he says. He said, what I say unto what? What I say unto all. So the minute we walk outside of God in disobedience, we are now placing our allegiance to the devil. Now you make your own personal inspection of your life. How are you walking? Are you walking in obedience?